She's the one who puts the quiver to my liver. Is somebody here with me? When you see me smiling anyhow, look around. She's somewhere not too far. Is somebody still here with me? She's my precious queen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. My one and only. And I used to say that I love my wife with all my heart. And somebody said to me, what about Jesus? I said, okay, I love Jesus with all my heart. My wife with all my liver, my spleen, my kidneys, all the remaining organs. Hallelujah. Amen. Please clap your hands and appreciate my beautiful wife.
Amen. Praise God. We're very happy to be here. This is my first time here and I'm truly delighted. Thank you. So this was our mini sermon on the mainland branch, and my response to that is that he's the sugar in my tea, the bread on my butter, and the person responsible for every alert. You know, there are two kinds of alerts you can get, the one where money is leaving and the one where money is coming in. Praise God. So I like him for that. He's my best friend for life, my lover and my pastor and mentor and everything. Thank you very much, Pastor Kingsley and Pastor Mildred. I'm excited to be here. And I enjoy the atmosphere, the warmth, and everything here. The Spirit of God is alive here. Praise God. And thank you for what you do for the body of Christ and raising people and gaining momentum. It's an honor to be here. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you really appreciate your pastors? Are you sure you really appreciate your pastors? I thought somebody would jump up and down and just... Come on. Praise the Lord. You are blessed to have great pastors, honestly. In this age of confusion and deception, it's a privilege to have good pastors. I've known your pastors for a couple of years now, and I just fell in love with them the first time I met them. But one thing I noticed is they have the shepherd's heart. You see, they care for you, they love you for real. Praise the Lord! You know that, don't you? So one more time, clap your hands and come on. Praise the Lord. And what you need to learn how to do is always show honor to your pastors. That's one of the quickest ways to prosper. I'm serious. Show honor to them, right? Even if it's, you know, even in sowing, right? Make up your minds. Listen, every one of you as people of this house, you should at least find a time, one time in the year, where you, God will guide you. You take a seed. And you go to your pastors and say, pastors, this is a seed from me to you. And they will lay hands on you and pray for you. You'll be amazed how God will move in your lives. Does that make sense? Yes, amen. Amen. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for a wonderful time in your presence. We thank you for the flow of your spirit. We thank you for hearts to receive. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for transformation. May we never be the same. In the name of Jesus. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Kingsley, Pastor Mildred, thanks so much for the honor. It's a great honor to be here. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. I don't take it for granted. I thank you for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. I want to just share some things the Lord has been dealing with me about. Mark chapter 1. Verse 14. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What gospel did he preach? The gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen? The gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what he preached. He preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Next verse. Saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Which gospel? The gospel of the kingdom of God. In the literal Greek, what he said was this. The government of God has come. In other words, when he stepped in to his ministry, when he stepped into that particular group of people, the kingdom of God, the government of God came with him. He didn't just come empty-handed. He brought the government of God. Say amen, somebody. So what happened next? Look at verse 21. Verse 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. Next verse. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. The scribes were great teachers, but there was something different about their teaching ministry and the ministry of Jesus. There was something different. They sensed a difference between the scribes, the Pharisees, that's the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, that's the Sadducees. There was a difference. When Jesus stepped in, something changed in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Jesus stepped in, but he brought the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And you know, when you bring the kingdom, that means that you're bringing the angels that serve in his kingdom. So there's no way you can move with the kingdom and the atmosphere will not change from this year. Wherever you go, as you go on your project, on your assignment, anywhere you go, the angels will precede you. The angels will surround you and the angels will follow you. The atmosphere will change for your sake. Favor will chase you in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Very important. He just stepped in and something shifted in the atmosphere. Because when a greater kingdom shows up, the lesser kingdom must bow. Are you with me? So the atmosphere must change. Because every kingdom carries atmosphere. And so when you move with God's kingdom, you carry an atmosphere. Atmosphere of the glory of God. And when you step into another place, that atmosphere must give in, because our kingdom is the greatest kingdom. Is somebody here with me? Is somebody excited about being a member of this kingdom of God? Hallelujah. So what happened next? He was teaching. Then there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Notice, he did not even address the man. All he did was teach. What was he teaching? The kingdom. The kingdom. Hallelujah. The kingdom. Every other agent of every other kingdom recognized the message coming from this man. It's not religious. It is kingdom. Watch this. He cried out, next verse, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." All this noise. And he didn't even address the man. All this reaction. All this drama. Just because somebody stepped in who was different from the rest. Guys, your time has come. Oh. The shift must take place. There's something you are carrying. It's time for you to express it. Hallelujah. Demons don't respond to religion. Demons respond to the voice of kings. There's a way you will move with the authority of royalty. Every spirit around you will recognize your presence. Something is different about the kingdom. Watch this. Next verse. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet. Come out of him." Simple. No drama. Be quiet. In other words, shh. Come out. Finish. That's not what the scribes would do. How do I know? Look at the seven sons of Sceva. They call it exorcism. So you bring holy water. You bring cross. You bring anointing oil. You go through all kinds of rituals like they did. We adjure you in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And so the demon realized, oh, I thought you even knew Jesus. Wicked spirits. What did they do? They nakeded them. Why would the spirit tear your clothes? Say, wicked spirit, wants to embarrass you. Amen. Don't go face to face with evil spirits unless you go with the kingdom. Are you still here with me? Glory be to God. Don't go with religion. You know, don't believe all these movies you watch. You know, like, I don't know how many of you are old enough to have watched some of these horror movies like Omen, Exorcist, where you see someone who's possessed. You know, the priest will go in with his collar and be doing like this. Suddenly, the small girl will do like this. She'll just catch him. He'll be doing like this. She'll do like this. The guy will fly from one side of the room to another side and crash on the wall. She'll do like this. The guy will come down. I said, that's not kingdom. Which demon will throw me in the air? How dare you try it? You see, that's the wrong message. That's religion. I don't need holy water to cast the devil out. Why? Kingdom. What do I do? Shh. Come out. Somebody says kingdom time. You don't need to go through all kinds of rituals to get the devils out of your house. Go to your house and close the door and say enough is enough. Say from today, I don't want to see any of you guys here. I'm serious. This is how it works. You have to operate with the consciousness of royalty. And life will respond to you as a king. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Your time has come to shine. This year is a year of revival, oh, it is. And this month, expect a supply from the Holy Ghost in three areas. Expect a supply of favor like you've never seen before. Expect a supply, number two, of funds. Funds are coming into your hands. If you believe it, okay. If you don't believe it, it won't happen, no. Let it happen according to your amen. This is serious. And number three, a supply of force. God says he's going to force some things out of your life. Yes, there's some things that are blocking your progress, but they're hanging around you. God said, by force, I'll take them out. And then by the same force, I will bring in some new things into your life. If you believe it, shout amen! It will happen, though. It will happen. For as many of you as can believe it and receive it, it will happen for you this month. I said, why, Lord? Why is this the case? He said, because there are things that were delayed last year. There are things that were blocked last year. And the Lord says, I need to get it quickly into their hands. The word he used was the word rush. He said, I'm going to rush it into their hands. Because they need those resources for the work they're supposed to do this year. There's some things you are supposed to start doing this year. You need that supply. And so God said, I'm rushing it into their hands in the month of January. Hallelujah! If you believe it, shout a loud amen. It will happen. Glory to Jesus. So I saw something here. Look at this. It says, be quiet and come out. Next verse. Pastor, there's no time out. With me, that's a dangerous thing, because I can just be going. Hallelujah. No, I will watch my time. And I'm sure she will help me. Praise the Lord. When the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Notice, he cried out with a loud voice. He convulsed him. What do we call that? Manifestation. But notice, Jesus was not focused on a manifestation like many people are today. He didn't even pay attention. He didn't even respect the manifestation. He didn't say, manifest, manifest, manifest. Oh yeah, manifest, manifest. I don't need that drama. It's a distraction. What did he say? Shh, come out. And left him. After all the gymnastics, the devil had to obey the instruction. There's a difference between manifest and come out. They're not the same. Manifest means do some drama for me. Let us laugh. People like to watch things. But I want people delivered. Amen. Kick him out of him. Next verse. They were amazed. So they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, he commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. They're not used to this. They're not used to this. They're used to all kinds of rituals, but not this. This is different. And they're calling this a doctrine. Notice, what they just saw, they're calling it a doctrine. Which means when it comes to the doctrine of Christ, it is more than what you are saying. It is what you are saying as well as what you are showing. Until you show it, people will not understand the doctrine of Christ, which is what? Dominion. Someone say dominion. Dominion is not just taught. You must show forth. Are you with me? Christianity is not just about teaching. It's about demonstration. You don't just, you know, I can teach you how to pray, but until you catch the spirit of prayer, you will just be listening to good messages and you will not be praying. How do I start praying? Start praying. Oh Lord. How do I start praying? Revelation. Start. Go and find people who pray. Stay around them. You will catch a spirit. Demonstration. Someone say demonstration. How do I succeed? Start succeeding. How do I sow? Start sowing. I want to hear God. I want to hear God. Listen, if you start sowing, you'll start hearing God. Because once you start moving, direction comes as you move. God will not steer a stationary car. If the car is not moving, why steer it? It's when you start moving, you will start to hear. Oh Lord, help me. Are you still here with me? Glory be to Jesus. They were amazed. What doctrine is this? What doctrine is this? In other words, their doctrine, how they understood doctrine, was not just what he was saying, but what he was communicating. Because what you communicate is more than what you say. What you communicate is what you say and what you are doing. That's what you're communicating. You can't talk about love, but you are not doing love. Are you with me? Glory be to Jesus. So this is his doctrine. The doctrine of what? Kingdom. The king's dominion. Go with me to Acts 1 verse 1. Acts 1 verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and what? Teach. Did you see that? Both to do and teach. The reason they understood his teaching was because of what he did. It's the doing that explains the teaching. Oh Lord, are you with me here? It's when somebody gives you a testimony that you will understand the word of God which was taught, which brought the testimony. Does that make sense? There must be a demonstration. Hallelujah. Paul says, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came in what? The demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Hallelujah. This is Christianity. It's a demonstration. It's not theology. It's a demonstration. That's what made Jesus different from the other leaders of his time. He demonstrated what? Authority. Are you still here with me? Go with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13 verse 6. And that's what happened to his disciples. They picked up the same spirit. They picked up the same spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Acts 13. Watch this. When they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus. Next verse. Who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. This man was an intelligent man, yet he had Babalawo by his side. Can you imagine that? And that's what happens. Because of a void of power, people resort to all kinds of evil processes to fill the vacuum. You see what I'm saying? But when the church will rise in authority, there will be no need to go to Babalawo because his power is far beneath your position in Christ. Are you with me here? He says, an intelligent man, this man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Next verse, watch this. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. How did he withstand them? Spiritually and naturally. Distraction. Next verse. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. Next verse. Watch this. And said, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of a devil, you enemy of all unrighteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" Watch this. Next verse. "And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you. You shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him. He went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Interesting. What happened? He said something. You will not see for some time. As soon as he said it, heaven backed him, brought mist and covered the man's eyes. That means heaven was waiting for him to take authority. What did you bind on earth, heaven will bind. What you loose on earth, heaven looses. Why? You are a king. Are you with me here? Watch this. So now the man has work to do. Am I correct? Because before he didn't have work to do. That's why he could become a distraction. So he was distracting the governor from hearing the word of God because he was jobless. But now they gave him a job to do. He's looking for how to see. So somebody's taking him around and now he's out of circulation. Then what happens next? Watch this. Next verse. Then the proconsul believed. Why did he believe? When he saw. They didn't say when he heard though. It was when he saw. Because he saw the kingdom demonstrated. He saw the supremacy of God's kingdom over the other kingdoms. And he respected that. Say, yes, now I believe. We must go beyond saying. It's time to demonstrate. May God give you wisdom. And may his grace be activated in your life for demonstrating the kingdom in your life this year. Shout amen. Amen. Amazing. Watch this. Being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. That word teaching is the word doctrine. So his doctrine, the doctrine he saw was what was demonstrated. Not just what was taught. Are you with me? God is raising the body of Christ to this place where we're going to go beyond just talking. And we're going to enter the place where we demonstrate everything we say. You talk success, demonstrate it. Amen. There are some husbands here. It's time for you to demonstrate that you love your wife. It's not enough to say, "I love you." You know, have you noticed God didn't say, "For God so loved the world that he shouted, I love you." No. What did God do? "For God so loved the world that he gave." How did he demonstrate his love? He gave. There are some men here. I have an express word for you from the Lord. It's time to send some cash to your wives. I'm calling it January surprise. Why are the men quiet now? Can I have the woman shout a loud amen? Can I have the woman shout a louder amen? If you want your wife to blossom, give her things. Amen. Give her money. Let her phone be ringing alert. Bam, 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 regularly. Say amen, somebody. Buy her nice and precious jewelry. Are you with me? If she wants attachment, go get her the one from Malaysia, whatever. Which one is the best one now? Ogun State. Eh? Bone Straight. Hey, Bragadege Dege. I've not heard that one before. Buy your wife Bone Straight. Happy wife, happy life. Amen. I don't know why men are so confused these days. This thing is not complicated. Keep your wife happy, and you are keeping your life happy. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Wives are good though. They're good. They came from God. Good thing from God. So treat it well. Treat your wife like a gift from God. A gift that God gave you. Treat your wife like that. Some of you are toasting some ladies to marry them, and they're seeing some signs which are not demonstrating the kingdom. Mm-hmm. I'm preaching real good now. Hallelujah. How can you be flashing your girlfriend? How? How How do you flash her? Based on what? What doctrine is that? What doctrine? Instead of buying her credit, you are flashing her. Ichabod. The glory has departed. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus Christ. The Lord will help you in Jesus' name. It's kingdom time. Even the way you dress must change. Dress like royalty. It's very important. You dress how you want to be addressed. This is basic. But somehow I think religion has kind of, you know, choked our minds. Do you know you can get a good deal just by the way you appear? You can get a better deal by how you showed up. A friend of mine, a great evangelist, I mean, and God has used him to where many countries do great crusades, right? And he was doing this, and one time he was in England, and somebody came to him and gave him a gift. When he got back and opened it, he saw a Rolex watch. Rolex. He went online and checked the price, and when he saw this was like 1987, to show you. He saw that the Rolex was £30,000. This is back then. He was amazed. He said, no. So in his mind, he said, I'm going to sell this watch. I'm going to use it for several crusades. Which is a noble thing to think of, you know. But when he was about to sell it, the Lord stopped him. And the Lord said to him, I sent someone to give you this watch on purpose. You want to sell it without consulting me. The Lord said, I want you to wear this watch. You know, sometimes God just wants to deck you up. I'm telling you, we are so religious, we cannot even see the hand of God or understand the philosophy of God. God is different. God wants you to look good. Why? You're his child. If you look bad, it's a poor reflection on him. So God will go out of his way to make sure you look good. So this guy, you know, he got this watch. He wore it once in a while, you know. One particular time, he was to go to with some friends of his to work on a particular contract in a bank. So that morning, as he was getting up, the Lord witnessed in his heart to wear that watch. He just wore it because, you know, and usually whenever he wears it, his suit covers it. So nobody can even see the watch. So they went and sat down having this meeting. He and two others, and then the bank managers were trying to, there's some millions of dollars were involved. And they were having some difficulty. They were not really working well. He said somewhere along the line, he didn't realize it, but, you know, his hand, he was just kind of like this. You know, he didn't realize what he was doing. And then the man saw his watch. He said he noticed a change of disposition. He didn't know why initially. He said suddenly, the man said, I'm coming. Went inside, they talked a few things, came back. Within a few minutes, they signed the deal. He went back and said, what happened? Then the Lord reminded him the time he stretched his hand and the watch showed. Those guys saw that watch and saw how he wore it and said, if this guy is wearing a watch like this, so expensive, he has capacity. Some of these things, when God does it, he's looking ahead. He knows how this world operates. So he knows how to raise his people so they can counteract every challenge that comes to you. Do you see what I'm saying? The Lord said to me some years ago, he says, all this, you know, people get upset when preachers say, you know, expect a new house or expect a new car. He said, he doesn't understand why they get upset. He said, because he said to me, when your son was young, like 5, and he would tell you to buy him a toy car, and you buy him a toy car, then he's playing with the car. Voo, 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 voo. He's playing with the car. He says, how did I feel? I said, I felt good. The Lord said to me, all these things, houses and cars, etc., they're toys. Toys that I give to my children. And when they use it, I'm happy. May God deliver us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Your time has come, oh. Your time has come to shine. Glory be to Jesus Christ. We have the authority of the King in our hands. We have the authority of the King in our hands. Acts 4 verse 13. Acts 4 13. I want you to watch this. There's a boldness that comes forth. When you have the consciousness of the kingdom, there's a boldness. And that boldness is very important because it's how you are supposed to speak. If you study the word boldness, you find it's almost always associated with speech. Bold speech. Oh Lord, look at their threats and grant us that with all boldness we may speak. Boldness is important. Boldness suggests that your kingdom is superior to the kingdom of the one you are addressing. Are you with me? When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, illiterates, but there was a boldness that comes from the kingdom. They marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. That same kingdom Jesus carried, they were carrying the same kingdom. So they were bold. Your season of boldness has started. You will be bold even in the face of adversity. Are you still here with me? Matthew 28 verse 18, quickly. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. What kind of authority are we talking about? We're talking about royal authority. Royal authority. Can I have somebody with a chair, please? Somebody with a chair. Brother, come. Bring your chair with you. Glory to Jesus. Just put it right there. Then you can sit on it. Or before you sit on it, just stand. Just come. Just look at me. I want to show you something. Watch this. After his resurrection, after he had gone to hell and snatched out the keys which Satan took from Adam, the first Adam, the second Adam came and snatched it back in hell. Bible says he disarmed and he dethroned and he took it back. That authority that Satan took from the first Adam, the second Adam took it back. And then he resurrected. And look at the first thing he said. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. The one in heaven was given to him by the Father. The one on earth, by who? Satan. He took it. Right? So just imagine him as Jesus and me as a disciple. And then he's telling me all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Then he points at me and says, go. It doesn't make sense in the natural. Because all authority was given to you. You go. Right? Why are you telling me to go? They understood something. Once he resurrected, he did not resurrect alone. Bible says we were raised together with him. As what? His body. So now we are in a perfect union, head and what? Body. Watch this. Which means whatever belongs to the head belongs to the body. So when he said all authority has been given to me, go back to verse 18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Watch this. Next verse. Go therefore. All authority has been given to me. What did he mean? He meant all authority has been given to me. But if it's given to me, it's given to you. So what he means is all authority has been given to us. So you go. Why? I'm going up. So while I'm gone, you do the work here with my own authority. Oh Lord, help me. Are you getting this? This is important. What you are carrying is not human authority. What you are operating by is the authority of God himself. It's not less than God's authority. This is God's own authority in your hands. That's why demons are afraid of you. And they're wishing, they're doing everything possible to make sure you don't know who you are in Christ. Because when a believer gets to know who he or she is, Satan is in trouble. That kingdom will suffer. Are you with me? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Say amen. Amen. All right, now watch this. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Next verse. Even when we're dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Next verse. and raised us up what? Together. Together. How? As the body. He didn't just go up alone. He now has a body. Who is the body? The church. Raised us up together and made us do what? Sit together. Sit. In the heavenly places in Christ. Watch this. When I first read this, you know what I thought? I thought that when you get to heaven, you'll see the first throne chair is Jesus. Then you'll have maybe Abraham. Maybe Isaac, Moses, Joshua. You see many of them. Then you reach Peter, John, Paul, Timothy. Then you will reach Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts. You know, just like that. Ida Hosa. You know, you see Oedipus chair. Then when you go far, you see my own somewhere. The Lord said, that's not what I said. Read the text. Sit together. Sit together. How? As the body. Where the head sits is where the body sits. It's the same chair. The chair signifies an office. We are seated in his own office. And we're to operate from his own office. Hey, is somebody listening to me? Here's an amazing thing. It's not even the head that is in direct contact with the chair. It is the body. That's why the head is up there. He's not the one doing the works here. He said, you go. I'm going up. You go. You are the one operating it. All I'm doing is giving you direction. All he does is give you what? Direction. You are to go in the authority and do the works. Greater works than these shall you do because I go. I don't know if you're getting me. Your time has come. Your time has come. So when I realize this, just imagine. I want to read something quickly. Just as we prepare to close. I came across this very interesting story. It's a true story, all right? About a man of God whose name is Peter Tan. You can do a research and find out about him. I believe he's going to be with the Lord now. But this is what happened. I read, a respected minister of the gospel named Peter Tan prayed to God for many years to see the glorious wonders of heaven. When God answered his prayer and took him to heaven in 1994, that's a vision, kind of a vision. One of the things the Lord showed him while he was there was the throne room of God. The throne room of God. Watch this. As Peter Tan wept before the Lord due to the overwhelming wonder and splendor of his majesty, he was caught off guard when the Lord Jesus stepped out from his throne. Shh. You know what? Can you come as well? I want you to catch this picture. Your life will never be the same. It says he was caught off guard when the Lord Jesus stepped out from his throne. Step out. And invited him to sit on it. Invite him to sit on it. Invite him. Now, stop. Because the way the story goes, the man did not just go like that. Oh. He was shocked. Peter Tan was shocked and so startled that he could hardly speak. Even though Brother Tan was familiar with the scriptures about being seated with Christ in heavenly places, it was hard for him to imagine how real the full meaning of this verse actually was when confronted with the reality of it. Now sit down. Now when he sat down, he said something happened to him when he sat down. He entered eternity from where he was. He experienced authority just by sitting there. You know how you have a revelation and you realize, from here, anything I say will come to pass. He says, he explains how tremendous awe, the tremendous awe of being invited to sit on the throne was almost more than he could take. But the Lord held his hand and placed him on the throne. Sit down. This is your chair. Brother Tan describes the experience of sitting on the throne as one of entering into infinity, where time ceases to exist. The verbalized power of the living word of God is so awesome that once it is spoken, there's nothing in heaven and earth that can stop it from coming to pass. He says, once you are aware of where you are sitting and you speak from that position, he says, nothing on earth can stop it from coming to pass. This is where we are. Clap your hands for them. Are you with me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time to change. Amen? Amen. To take authority. When I learned this, everything changed for me. I used to be so afraid of demons because of the family I came from. Because many of my extended family members are all witch doctors. That's just the truth. So when I got saved, the kind of attack I received. So I understand what it means to be afraid of demons. But I crossed the line. When I read Matthew 28, verse 18, I went to complain to a pastor about what I was facing. He called me outside. He said, come, let's go for a walk. Took me outside. He says, he opened Matthew 28, 18, said, read it. I read it. He said, read again. I read it. He said, read again. I read it. Like seven times. He says, he asked me, what does all mean in your village? I said, all means all. Then he said to me, if all means all, and all authority was given to Jesus in heaven and earth and to us, he said, if all means all, which one does Satan have? Let me allow it to sink in well. Which authority does he have if all has been taken? Hey, when I saw this, I got excited. I saw it. I said, what? You mean all this time I've been oppressed? It's just deception. Yes. He knows you don't know. He knows. I've told this story. I'm sure I've told it here before. But after that experience, 2 weeks after, I was traveling. And I stopped by my hometown late at night because it was too late to go to Enugu and arrive in Enugu. So I stopped in my hometown to the family house. So I just got in there and I went into the house. And once I stepped into the house, NEPA took light. That was NEPA then. So I just sat down. I was just so tired. I sat down with my bag. A few seconds later, a demon spirit walked through the wall and just walked to where I was. Hey, I said, see me, see trouble. Lord. I should have just been going. Why did I stop here? This village. So I just took the bag out of, I was afraid. And I just walked. I made my way in the dark because you kind of know how to. So I made my way and I went into the bedroom and I locked the door. I locked the door. You know, when you're afraid, you can do stupid things. The demon came through the wall. You are locking the door. So I locked the door and I went. And I was so afraid, I didn't take off my shoes. I had my shoes on and my bag by my side. As if I'm about to travel somewhere. Sure enough, the demon came in and just walked up to my bed. Hey. Listen, fear is terrible. But fear is because we have the wrong consciousness. If you know who you are, you'll not be afraid. I'm telling you. So I was just lying on the bed. God is my witness. This demon held the bed and began to shake the bed vigorously. I was bouncing on the bed. I don't mean in the spirit. In the physical. Oh my gosh. I was bouncing. I was dying. My spirit was about to leave. I said to myself, this is how people die. You find them in the morning and they say they just died. No, something happened. I was just there. And then from within me, I heard this word, all. I heard it from inside. And then it got louder. And it got louder. And it got louder. Then it burst out of my mouth. And as it burst out of my mouth, I started laughing. I hear this is your year of laughter. I hear this is your year of laughter. I started laughing. I wasn't even laughing. Ho, 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 ho. You know, that's a dignified laugh.
I was laughing. Have you ever laughed so hard that your stomach starts spinning you? I was laughing. The bed was shaking. The demon was shaking the bed. I was laughing. I was bouncing. I was laughing. That's what home videos are made of. Movie magic. Real life. Do you know this bed continued shaking for some time? And then I was laughing and laughing. And as I laughed, all the fear disappeared. It got to a point I just knew. It was like I knew this guy is a liar. Can't even touch me. And I just started laughing and laughing. And, you know, many years of suffering. The demon dropped the bed. For real. I remember, and walked back like this. Slowly. I didn't know why it was so cautious until later. Walked back like this. It came this way. I remember it went this way. And just moved through the window and left. And that was it. After some time, when I began to read more, I realized I should have tortured that spirit a bit more. Why he was so cautious was he was afraid of what I would say. I told this story to somebody in a church, to a group of people in a church. Not knowing, one of them was having a similar problem. Every night, they will come to his room and start moving tables, moving lamp. What kind of harassment is that? So this guy went home that day waiting for them. He slept. He said when it was around 2 a.m., the thing started moving. Then he saw the evil spirit came into the room. He said it just came out of him. He started laughing. He said it laughed and laughed and laughed. And the spirit saw him laughing and began to move back. And then it left. Then he now, remember what I said, that if I had known what I know now, I would have called him back. So he called the spirit back and said, come back here, idiot! Come back here! Stupid idiot! Thank you, come back here. He said to his amazement, it came back. He said, stand there! He said, abuse him in English, abuse him in his language, abused him. He said he kept there for 30 minutes. True story. The spirit was shaking. And he said, come on, get out! Get out, idiot! Foolish idiot. And the spirit left. What do you call that? Authority. May God help us. We're going to laugh now, but before we laugh, because we're going to close this by laughter. Because the devil needs... So when you laugh, you don't laugh at people, but you laugh to mock the devil. He hates it when you laugh at him. It gets him confused. Bible says you will laugh in the face of calamity. So laughter is a defense. Laughter is a weapon. Bible says kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. So it's a kingdom force. Are you with me here? Bible says God looks around and sees how they're plotting against his kingdom. And he laughs in derision. Warfare. You can't do warfare without laughter. Oh Lord, help me. Are you still here with me? Somebody said that there was a particular guy that the devil used to use for consolation. When he would go and harass different people, you know, and maybe he would come to some people's homes and they would kick him out because they understand who they are. He would always use this particular brother on his way back to headquarters just to make himself feel like he has more power. Because this guy didn't know anything. So one of those days, he went somewhere and he got kicked out of where he went. So he asked the demon, where's that brother? Where's that normal that brother that I always use to make myself feel happy? They told him he's on that Lekki Expressway. Just there's a taxi entered. Go on, I'll show you where he is. So the devil just flew inside and jumped in the taxi. Praise the Lord. Where this guy was. But the devil didn't know this guy had been to a seminar like this. Something happens when you go to this kind of seminar. Your eye will become red. Fire. The fire of revelation. So this guy was meditating on what he just heard. And Satan didn't know. So he just jumped in. As usual. When this guy turned his face and looked at the devil shouted, blood of Jesus! Today on your way home, the devil will shout, Holy Ghost fire! Oh, Holy Ghost fire! Say amen, somebody.
I don't. It's not a true story. It's just a. I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know if it's a true story. Praise the Lord. That's what I was told. Glory to God. It's time to laugh. It's time to laugh. As you laugh now, several things will happen. There's some of you. There's some deliverance that must take place. There's some backing off of evil spirits. They must back off. When you laugh now, they'll back off. For some of you, there's some breakthroughs you're about to enter. Because you're about to enter, go to your bank with laughter. Some of you will go in smiling and come out laughing. Say amen. I'm talking about this year, 2021. Your year of laughter. You will laugh. You will laugh to the bank. You will laugh. You will laugh in your home. You will laugh in your business. You will laugh concerning all things that concern your life. You will laugh. Are you ready? Okay, stand up. Now, it doesn't matter. You can wear mask. That's okay. If you're not wearing mask, fine. According to your faith. Praise the Lord. But what I want you to do is find one person. That's called your laughing partner. Yes, it can even be three. Three is okay too. If you want to do three, that's fine. Amen. Now listen, listen. Listen. When you want to laugh, laugh well. You know, this kind of thing we're doing now, I went somewhere, I said, listen, the Lord wants you guys to laugh. So I said, they should start laughing. You know what they were doing? Some of them were laughing, some were doing I said, shut up. I said, there's time to pray. There's time to laugh. That means you don't know how to laugh again. I said, laugh, you don't labor. Is that laughter? And then some people have not laughed for so long. Their facial muscles are stiff. When they laugh, they feel pain. But as you laugh today, you will feel pain, some of you initially. But the anointing will come. Some of you, you are so stingy with laughter that you do what I call flashlight, torchlight laughter. They say laugh. Laugh more now. Some of you have right hand laugh. Laugh now. Left hand laugh. Let's when you want to laugh, laugh well. Laugh from your belly. After a while, you should feel something here. Listen, the devil is in trouble. Though. Even now that we're about to laugh, the demons are just, oh, hey. Why did I allow them to come now? Are you ready? We're going to do it intensely for the next 3 minutes. Only 3 minutes. But I can assure you something. There is actually, Lord just spoke to me. There's someone that will get a phone call at 6 p.m. tonight. Make sure you testify. Make sure you testify. This month, supplies are coming. You will laugh into your supply. Am I getting a witness here? Are you ready to laugh? At the count of three, you let it go. At the count of three, you fire it. There must be a shift. One. Two, are you ready? Rev your engine, rev your engine, rev your engine. Rev your engine, rev your engine. Three, fire! Fire, fire, fire! Ha 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 ha
you will laugh when your testimony shall come. Laugh. Ha One more minute. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha ha. Hey. Hey. Ha ha ha. Hey, hey, hey. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. Hey, 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 hey. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey. This is how you will laugh in a few days' time. Oh. Testimony, testimony. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Can I have somebody just sing something as we close? Lift your hands and just worship the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's a wind of the Spirit. It's blowing. It's blowing. Indeed. This will be your year of laughter. Indeed. Lift your hands and worship Him. Worship Him.
You move mountains and you cause walls to fall with your power. You perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.